Brethren, this morning I want to give you a subject in three words, really looking at the words found in the opening words of verse 43, very much the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the words are, cut it off. Now this is our subject, cut it off. Now this is not enough to understand what my subject is, so I want to elaborate it in a sentence, is that cut it off now. What causes you to sin before you are cast off into hell? So the subject is, in three words, cut it off, and let me repeat it, and it is to cut it off now. What causes you to sin before you are cast off into hell? And this is what we learn here in our Savior's teaching. And the portion that is read in your hearing, I want to use the same language of the words that our Savior uses here. But to put it in simple words, what Christ is teaching here is really on the change of our hearts. The change of our hearts, to put it simply. So it's we will come to learn that as we go further in this passage. And you will notice all the way through, my dear friends and brethren, the Gospel of Mark has been teaching us. And one of the big themes has been very much of the heart. The change of heart. Conversion. Repentance. We know the new birth, what we call is regeneration, is the work of God. But conversion is our work, where we must be converted, where we must repent, we must turn away from sin, and where we must cut it off. What causes us to sin now, before one is cast off into hell? And this is the teaching. And in particular, when we come to this passage, is the warning. Well, looking back last Sunday morning, we looked at in chapter 9 and verse 35, where I reminded you the teaching, and our Savior tells that if anyone wants to be great, because there was bickering to be great, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said in verse 35 of chapter 9, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Now notice that there we learned on humility and service. And then in the end, towards the end of my message, I said that humility, how much is vital, in fact, absolutely vital in true conversion. When we looked in Matthew, and he says, to be converted, be converted. And this humility that is seen in a Christian's life is desirable, it's beautiful. But the unconverted needs to be converted in order to have that true humility, in order they can serve Christ, to please Him. Well, this morning, we are coming to our passage. Here in our passage, the Prince of Preacher, our Savior, has taught us the importance of entering into life. That's what we learn right at the very outset of this passage. And you notice, he is teaching here that we must enter. It's the entrance into life before one goes into hell. You see, Christ is not in this passage, of course, telling us about sinners entering into hell. Well, that's not his loving care and concern. His compassion is that the unconverted, the unbelievers would enter into life. You see, that's what he is saying here. Look at in verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you. He's saying it's better for you to enter into life.
So he's really speaking about entering into life. And then what is this entering into life? It's also in this passage Jesus teaches us entering into life. It simply also means entering into his kingdom. Because that's what it says in verse 47. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you. Now here he uses the different phrase, but describing the same entering into life. He says, to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell, fire. So Christ is not interested in sending sinners to hell. Though, of course, he is not doing it at the expense of that we ignore hell. Because he is doing here is to show us the reality of hell. I cannot preach to you this message just giving you a study, a message. My dear friends and brethren, we can't sit here under this roof and read these words with a cold heart. And a heart that is indifferent to the things. Because Jesus, here is the compassion of our Savior. Because he wants the unbelievers, those who are stubborn in their sin, those who are so stubborn in their will, they're so self-will, is to that begin to sense the reality of hell, to feel the flames reaching to you now, today. That if you do not take it seriously, you are doing it at your own peril. That's why it's right to call the subject, cut it off. So that's why I'm calling it, cut it off, as our Lord Jesus is teaching us here, my brethren and friends. And you notice, you learn, the prince of preacher is repeating. And you say in few verses, you see, he is repeating the same truth three times, thrice. I know preachers are, sometimes they have to repeat things, but the prince of preacher is repeating. You may say, well, surely we understand. Didn't we understand in verse 43 what he is saying? Well, but the same truth, he is saying it is better for you to enter into life. He's repeating the same three times. My friend, the answer to this is, even the most mature people and even the most wise in our world can be so often so stubborn in their will, so self-will, not to cut it off what causes them to sin. That's why you can see Christ knows what our hearts are like. That's what it's all about, the heart, change of heart. I believe Mark's gospel is teaching us so much, my friend. And none of us can say, I did not hear enough from the gospel. The gospel, the message of gospel has been preached before myself, stepping into the pulpit faithfully from this pulpit, from our dear brother, Pastor Blaise. And you see, even before men here. So there's so much that people have heard. And we go on preaching the same gospel. And still, if people come back and they say, well, I didn't understand. I don't know. But of course, this is all the state of man's heart. There is no, my friends, lack of knowing about true conversion. What it means to be converted. Outlined before you preached. And again, the change of heart. And if we don't change our heart, or any of us doesn't change, now, the fearful thing is, this is what Christ is telling us. Hell, it's a real, serious, that before you are cast off into it, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Well, my dear friends, hell must be taken seriously. It is so often said, and it is indeed true, that Christ has spoken on hell in the Bible more than anybody else. And it is true. The reason, because he created it. And that's often God's men have said. Because he's created it, and this is what we read in the scripture. And in these few verses, he is mentioning it, repeating it time and again, the same truth. So that we know the severity and the reality of it. And we must take it seriously. Why? Because hell is real. That's what Jesus is saying. Hell is real. And you notice, not the place of it, every time he repeats in every verse, he says where. Notice, where. It starts verse, you know, verse 44, it starts where. And then again in verse 46, where. And then again in verse 48, where. The worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. What he is simply saying by this phrase is that it is eternal hell. It's a hell. It's a real. It's a hell of fire. Fire hell. And it's not just some airy-fairy story, fictional. No. It's a real hell. And then by repeating three times their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, he's really saying it's a real hell of fire and it's eternal. Well, may the Lord help us and the Holy Spirit open our eyes, my brethren. Because I want to preach to you. But when I look at this passage, it is overwhelming. That I said I was looking only on the one aspect today. Cut it off. Well, there are three things I want to say. Why? We want to look at three things. Firstly, first thing would be causing yourself to sin. That's the first thing, my point you could call. First thing, causing yourself to sin. The title is cut it off. And the second point is going to be the members which cause you to sin. And the third is the cutting off these members. And you notice I'm really doing is looking, opening the words that are found in verse 43, the very opening words, first part of verse 43. But not just looking at that, because the same is repeated few times in the same portion. So let's start again. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You notice my three things are really very much expounding this phrase, this part of verse, and the part of verse that is repeated in further in verse 45, and it's again repeated in verse 47. So we want to pay serious attention because Christ is teaching us. Let's look at the first thing, causing yourself to sin. Now, the difference of stumbling and causing sin is now we must see by way of contrast. In verse 42, Jesus ended causing others to sin by stumbling or offending. And you learn in verse 42, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble or to offend, to cause them to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. What Jesus was saying, that if any of you causes others to sin, it was better, look at, what was that? It better for him, a millstone was a huge stone. You see, if a huge stone was tied around your neck or anyone's neck, they were thrown into the sea, they had no hope. That means they were stuck with it. Now we know it's a fearful thing. So what Jesus is saying, rather than that was done to that person. Now that is causing others to stumble or causing sin. But when you come to verse 43, now Jesus is not talking about causing others to sin. It's causing yourself to sin. You see the difference by way of contrast? In verse 43, here Jesus is now saying, it's you. You are causing yourself to sin. It's you, the self, yourself. Now the picture here of stumbling from verse 42 is a different one. You see, in verse 43, the picture of stumbling is not like tumbling. You know, like when you walk and you tumble yourself or stumble, you fall over and then you get up and you rise and walk. Now, it's true because this happens in the life of the righteous, God's people, that they may fall, stumble, but the Lord raises them up. He makes them to stand and they go on. They are His elect. But here the picture of stumbling and causing yourself to sin is a serious picture. And we must grasp the meaning here. Sense is what Christ is saying, that this causing yourself to sin is can be pictured by a trap where one is entrapped. And there is no way that person is going to get out of it. But that booby trap that is laid for individual or creature is that they gradually come. Their foot, their feet lead them into that trap and they are entrapped into it. And that's finished, death. That means that trapping, we could call it entrapped unto death. So there is no way out, no life. Because that's what Christ is teaching, and that's what the whole passage further teaches us, that when your particular member or your what causes you, causes yourself to sin, Jesus teaches, it's your sin. Is that what does, it entraps you ultimately, that you are finished, you're killed, you're destructed. But this destruction is that ultimately into fire, into hell, where you will not just disappear. You will still be there in hell forever, like the soul of the rich man. The true story, Jesus says, of the rich man and the Lazarus, that his soul still feels. And it's that reality that he is teaching us here, is that, oh, may the Lord help us and cause us that we would take heed, brethren, here from our Savior's warning and teaching. The trap here is a fearful thing when a creature is entrapped and the consequences ultimately is death. What entraps you? What entraps you is that Christ is that your sin, yourself. That's why the first point, the first heading, causing yourself to sin. If that is the case, you say, oh, how fearful. I do not want to be like a creature that is entrapped in a trap, and then boom, death, sudden comes the death. And I don't want to paint pictures of traps here. And you know what you have seen with your own eyes when a creature is entrapped. It does not take long. It's only one click and it's gone. This is the case with our lives. And may the Lord be merciful. And the Holy Spirit would do God would do the work of grace in us, that we will take it seriously. Well, this leads me to my second point, or the thing. Sometimes I say thing, if it makes easier for you to remember, rather than saying point. Because you say, Pastor said three things, or 3 points. Now, the second thing leads me to look at the members which cause yourself to sin. Jesus mentioned 3 very basic members of our bodies. These 3 members are the hands, the eyes, the feet. Now you may say, why is he mentioning only 3? Well, surely we have more than 3 members in our bodies. Well, we'll come to learn our Savior's wisdom in it. Why does he do it? We shall learn this. It's amazing that he mentioned these 3 very basic and important parts of our bodies. No, what do we do? Let's start with our last two things. First is, what do we do with these members? First. And second, what do these members reveal to us? So let's start. What do we do with these members of our bodies? I'll start one by one, and it will do us good to spend a little time. Let's start with our hands. And the things that I'm mentioning, brethren, are not comprehensively all I'm giving illustration. I'm just mentioning in brief few things. Well, with our hands, we can do what? That which is good. That's what we read in Ephesians, Paul says, to do that which is good. And the same hand, he also speaks of evil. You know, that have been used, or when before our conversion, before an unbeliever is in the state of being unconverted, you see the same hand that were used to steal, to fight, to kill, and to do all sorts of evil things. And you see that, look at it, some of the examples that people are prone to do, even in the state when they're converted. God forbid that a Christian believer would be doing the stealing. But hands that people used to steal, young and old, children, it must take heed. You see, hands to steal, hands to fight, push, hands to wave in the air, to despise God. This is what the unconverted do. The unbelievers, when they are mocking the Lord, this is what they do. That's the style. This is what they do in mockery. You know, despising the Lord. Hands, these hands, arms, you see that we have. And the same hands you can use to despise your brother and sister. When you're angry and upset, you say, this is what hands go. Fly in the air. You see, hands. Well, hands with hands, what do? With hands, we pick up the phone. Brother David was mentioning about gossip, the destructive use of the tongue, as he read the Proverbs. Pick up the phone. What we do? You need a hand to pick it up. And in the same hand, you hold it. And you see, now you can speak good. That which is good, to build one another, encourage one another, strengthen one another. But with the same hand, you pick up and you may end up gossiping, criticizing, being negative, unthankful to God, and unthankful to the place or the God is doing goodness to you in your life, and you can wipe it out in one sentence with these hands. Hands. Well, there's so much. With the same hand, you switch on the button of your tally. There are people with the same hand switch it on and watch programs, things that are destructive, evil. And you see, with the same hand, the computer. You see, we can mention a few things, then we can go on and on. So there is so much we can see. Let's start with the eyes. Now look at our eyes. God has given us to look at His being, His beauty. He's given us, look up. Lift up your eyes towards the heaven, and you look and say, how great our God is. How awesome, how all-wise He is. And you look at the sun shining. You could say, isn't it our God wonderful? Do we live lives like that? Do you live lives like that as a Christian? As the people of God? You must be. If the unconverted are with you in your own families, unbelievers, your friends, your relations, your relatives, your loved ones, all they hear from you that your eyes are not praising God when they look at the beauty of it, then surely what they're seeing, what they would be saying, they may smile at you, but deep down in their soul they'll be saying, this soul says I'm a Christian. What type of Christian this woman is? What type of this man is? What type of Christian this man is? What type of Christian this brother is? Sister? No, that's what they'll be saying. And you will be bringing dishonor to the name of the Lord. Oh, how awful is eyes that God has given us. There are people who don't have eyes. Go and ask them. I was watching the news from an Asian channel last night. Two brothers, they don't have eyes. They don't have eyesight. And another third brother is going around the country, spending all his wealth, and said, I wish I could get my brother eyes to see. They are 30 years old, both twins. And they can't see. And they were saying, if our eyes are restored, oh, we want to look at the beauty of the creation. These are unconverted, unbelievers. And their brother said, I wish even I sell my old thing, most what I have, just to get them eyes. Well, we all have eye here. Two eyes, big eyes. But what are we using for? Are we using these eyes to see the bigness of God and telling others the beauty of His name? Are we using these eyes to meditate upon the glory of Christ, His being, His person, His work in the Bible? He's given us not the light in nature, the light of special revelation, the Bible. So we must be using our eyes. But if we spend, ask yourself a question, my friend, how much your eyesight is spent for things that are vanity, things that are not fruitful, things that are not good for your soul, and they are destructive for you. Well, you have to ask yourself a question. This leads to my third example our Lord Jesus uses, our feet. Where do we go? Where do you love to go? Well, you use your feet. Feet. That's why you can see Jesus, our Savior, all wise. He mentioned these things, three things of our body. They're basic, most important in our lives. With hands, we do things. With eyes, we see things. With feet, we walk and we go to places. We go to places. We go to see things, do things, and we go to meet people we like. You see, with feet, if you didn't, God forbid, any of us didn't have these three things, no hand, no eyes, no feet, what would you do? You'd be stuck in a place, nothing you could do. It's a serious thing, isn't that? If you didn't have these three things, would you be able to do? I asked the question, children. Would you be able to do anything? You say, no, I wouldn't be able to look at anything. I wouldn't be able to pick up anything. I wouldn't be able. Oh, my friend, that's why our Lord Jesus is telling us these three basic things. Now, I asked the second question. What are these three things revealing? Christ is revealing by these three things. By mentioning, what are we learning? What does He reveal to us? Well, He is revealing to us the issue of heart. Heart of man. Heart in sin. It's the issue of heart. It's not simply hands, eyes, and feet. Well, this is the physical side of the thing. But what we are learning here is the heart. You see, the heart of man. Now, we know the heart, when the Bible speaks of the heart, is not just the heart that this lump of blood you see here on our left, the lump of heart, we say, on our left, pumps the blood, rather, on our left side, is not that heart. It's the heart, is the soul of man, the spirit, the mind, the emotion, it's the whole man. When the Bible says the heart of man is the whole man. And we know the whole man is totally depraved when we think of the unbeliever. They are helpless and hopeless. The whole man, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1, even men there are stubborn in their sin. And that how the evil that even can be among the people of God is from top, from head to soul. It's sin. The sinfulness there. And that, but of the unconverted, they're totally depraved. Dead in their sins. But thank God, brethren, for God's work of grace, new birth. He gives the new birth. He is able to regenerate. If any one of us is there spiritually dead, they said, I am unbeliever. My heart is like that, sinful. Oh, that my dear friend and brethren, he can change your mind. He can change your heart. He can give you new heart, new will, emotions sanctified. But I'm thinking of this. Take, for example, the aspect of will. Because sin has affected us, so a whole man. Even when we have a new heart, we're Christians, we still have so much the presence of sin in us. So that our will continually is conformed into the will of God. Continually we are made Christ-like. Grow in grace, growth, continually. But so often our will still is so strong will. And I will use the illustration of this will, or the example of will, and then to teach further from us what it means. Well, let's take it this way. If your self-will cannot control your hands. Now, this is very important. Now, it's not the hands moving. What's moving the hands? It's the heart. If your self-will cannot control your hands, you continually do the same thing. You commit the same sin. You go on. You are causing yourself to sin. With the hands, is you are continually being entrapped. Oh, it's been God's mercy that you are not cut off. It's that, but you are causing yourself sin. You are continually wanting to go into trap. Like a mouse, if I may use the expression. But it's God's mercy. You see, or something else, that another creature, not the mouse, because humans, I would like to use that, but look at, but when in sin, you could be like a mouse. Your heart, you know, like sinfulness of that makes you be like that creature. But you're not made like that. God has made you man. But if you keep on doing, but it's the Lord's mercy that he pulls you away. You're not killed or destroyed. And if your hands cannot control, if your self-will cannot control, same is, if your self-will cannot control your eyes, you go on looking upon the same thing old, you carry on, and you are wanting to be entrapped. And it's the same if you cannot control your self-will, cannot control your feet. You love to go to the same place of committing sin, your feet. Then I tell you, you got a serious problem. You may be a religious person, a very nice person, but the principle on which you live is not showing that you are truly converted. That's where you must take the teaching of Christ seriously. And if you are truly converted, and it's true even with a child of God, don't get me wrong, you could be a child of God, that doesn't mean that you do not fall into that trap and sins. No, but the principle by which a person lives, I have no hesitation to say that there is a danger, because we can give the impression sometimes around the world, Christians give, and they could pat on someone's back and say, no, you're all right, you are a lovely Christian, and that Christian does commit sin continually. The principle of their life is that their self-will is out of control, because it's not just one of they have fallen or trapped, because when you stumble, you don't stumble all the time. Let me ask you a question. When you walk on the pavement, footpath, how many times you tumble or stumble? When you go out, surely very rarely, God forbid, that you tumble. But if you keep tumbling, if you keep falling, you got to ask question, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing? Where is my heart? You have to ask question, is that perhaps you are not truly converted yet? You have grown up with the religious things. You have the profession, Oh, my friends, I'm laying before you seriously and earnestly, because this is a serious thing. Look at the fearful hell, the teaching of hell Christ is saying. And that's why he is saying, cut it off. You see, the problem is that sin is controlling you. It's not Christ being on the throne of your heart. Sin is at your heart. You are slave to sin. But God can deal with it. Isn't that amazing? Thanks be to his grace. He is a God of all grace. And that's what he is saying. His desire for you is. And it's both, whether Christian or the unbelievers, equally apply. Cut it off. Sin, that this is entrapping you, causing yourself to sin. Cut it off. Because even Christians have to examine themselves continually, daily. As we die to sin daily, we are to come to God humbly. You see, when the sinful thoughts come to a child of God, even to us Christian, horrible and evil and ugly thoughts, and we wake up and we pray to God, how dare that the sinful passion could run to your side. Oh God, be merciful. And you examine yourself, make sure your election, that you are in the state of grace, not a graceless state. Because a graceless state, when one dies in sin, the end is into the fire. No wasting of time. One entrapped, boom, into the hell. Into the fire, into hell that is eternal. Well, this leads me to the third thing, the cutting of our members. The Lord Jesus commands us here to do so. It's a commandment. Cut it off. And it's repeated. You must say, Jesus, you said once, wasn't that enough for me? He is saying three times. Verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. The same truth he repeats in verse 45. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. And the same truth, and I'm repeating, because Jesus said, verse again, look at. He says the same truth in verse 47. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, here the cutting of our members here, we must not take it literally. The hell is literal. The hell is real. But the cutting is spiritual. It's in the spiritual sense. So what Jesus is saying here is not we have to literally cut off. You could cut off your one hand, and if your heart is not converted, you still got left with one hand. If your heart is not changed, you could still carry on doing sin. You see, if you gouge your eye, some people have tried to do literally, and if you committed sin, but heart is sinful, evil, exceptionally deceitful, heart must be changed. That's in simple words what Christ is saying. The whole man must be changed. And if you see, he's using the example of one hand, one eye, one foot, but he's talking both. It doesn't mean that he is ignoring the other. No, all our members work simultaneously in one harmony. We work together, isn't that? Hand works together with eyes, feet work together with bodies, the whole body. So you see, it would not be good, God forbid, if someone literally took one eye, he still got one eye to look at. He could still look with one eye the things that are not right before God. He could still be using one eye and still carrying on. No, isn't that serious that what Jesus is saying here is that what he is saying, I would call it now, it is the spiritual amputation. This is what Jesus is teaching here. And I use the expression, it is the spiritual amputation we need. And we all know, my dear friend. Can anyone here in this hall challenge this? When it comes to the literal amputation in the medical field, we all know. And this is precisely the picture Christ is using. Because when it comes to the literal one in the medical realm, when there is one part or member of your body needs to be amputated, doctor, surgeon says you must be under the knife. And none of would challenge and question. We all run. Everyone would run to that. Yes, doctor, please do. Why? In case that my rest of body is not destroyed. In case my whole life is not destroyed. It's the spiritual same way, in the same vein, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here of the spiritual amputation. He says that in same way, you must deal with that. My dear friends, you may say, well, I have to pray to God. Regeneration is the work of God's grace, no doubt. You cannot be born again. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work from above. God regenerates. It's the holy work does it. But you must do your work. When this glimmer of hope comes into your life, when this God begins to, even though a person, you are not a Christian believer or unconverted, there are things you still, God has given you to stop. This would be the prerequisite, preparing your heart is like that, where it's not that you are doing, God is doing. Because there are times when conviction comes to you, the Holy Spirit pricks your mind. He says, stop doing this, and you're not even converted yet. And you should treasure it. And you should go on calling upon God like that, the blind man, oh, the son of David, have mercy on me. And you must go on and be serious, and not to waste those convictions, and not to waste that hearing of God's word that has come to you, and there have been times you have been pricked in your conscience, and you have left the building just in same old way, forgotten. How long will you go on doing? How long will you go on despising the goodness of God? Before it's too late for you. And this is what Jesus is teaching. Oh, I challenge you, encourage you, invite you, those who are the unconverted, unbelievers, as well as Christian believers. Remember today, cut it off. That which causes you. Now here I'm not using word even member. That which causes you to sin. In the spiritual sense now, and there are times when you have to actually do physically cut it off, where you have to stop your feet going towards a place or a particular individual that would cause you to sin and stumble. You have to stop there and don't carry on. You'll be entrapped. And then it's too late for you. Well, may the Lord have mercy upon you and upon us. Thank God that for Christ and his blood. How amazing is our God. How compassionate is our Lord Jesus, as I draw towards the conclusion. Our Savior, even though he has outlined for us crystal clear teaching of the seriousness of hell and the severity of it, and yet his heart is toward our life. He wants us, it's better for you to enter into life. Better for you to be in the kingdom of God. Far better than in that fearful place. Hell. Into the fire. Into hell. That where the fire is never quenched. Like the worm, it's likened to that. That's why it says it's eternal. And you see, and as I finish, my friend, and my message, let me warn you, just by saying a few things by way of application and for our challenge and our encouragement, as well as invitation to those who have not cut it off. Now is the time to do so. Now is the day of salvation. Now, that is why the writer to the Hebrews, read the epistle to the Hebrews, gives warning. He tells his people, he does not want even one of you to be left behind. One of you, oh, wish we see here, that will all one day, this is our desire, longing, our God's true elect, and in heaven, in glory, in heaven. and knowing the blessings of heaven here below. Life here. It doesn't start when you die. Life begins here. And then you see you all together rejoicing in the fellowship. Oh, God forbid that none of us would be found in hell, into fire, into the hell that is a fire. I encourage you again, read from Luke's gospel. The account, it's not a story, it's not a parable, it's a true story. Jesus knows who this rich man was and who Lazarus was. And that true account, now rich man sees the difference now in hell. And this gives me, I don't want to think so much, more than what the Bible has taught, but looking at Christ's word, we can glean in some way, in sanctified way, we can imagine that there is, in the right sense, that there is a gulf. Of course, Christ has spoken about the gulf. So there's a gulf. Those that are in hell, they have no fire exit there. I have said this from using this illustration here. And there is no fire exit, and it's true, they cannot come out of it. But they can see or sense the happiness of God's children in heaven. The rich man can see that Lazarus is in peace. Here he was persecuted, suffered, all that what he went through for Christ and his profession, his faith. Now he is in eternal peace. And the rich man there is covered, even there you see his eyes. But he can see, but he cannot be in that place. Now he sees the difference there. It's too late. Christ is giving you difference now, today. Cut it off before you are cast off into hell, into fire. Then you say you are together with that rich man. Then Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, and I encourage you to read the word there, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Then it would be too late. That day it will say, "Depart from me." And then we learn there, Jesus said, "You, those who are the wicked and the ungodly, who have mocked the Christ, mocked the Lord here, despised, carried on in their sin." Then that day he says, "Depart from me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. Depart from me into that hell of everlasting fire. Together with devil and his angel." Oh, you don't want to be. May the Lord be merciful to you. And open your eyes. And those who are of the Lord will go on to be earnest, serious, cutting off sin that could trap you, entrap you. And those who are not believers yet, this would be the day, oh Lord, that your eyes, you will cry to